Good evening. Now it's time for our reading. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
Well, we've had a laugh, messing around with the groaning, but I want to ask a serious question. Is it worth being a Christian? Here's one person's opinion. I've been a Christian all my young life in a secular environment. I've tried to be good, but my reputation is messed up by all sorts of things, from sex, smoking, and alcohol. I don't think I can survive as a Christian because the smallest thing I do is under surveillance. I was a virgin until 19. Now I'm 21, but I gave up because of rumors I couldn't handle. I had to give in. Do you know what I mean? I was raised a Christian, and I deeply studied God and know a lot about the Bible. But I cannot handle the social pressures. I'm sure we can all relate to that. I was brought up as a Christian, and I became extremely skilled at being a Christian, a good church member, and keeping in with everyone in school. That's not a bad thing. I brought a lot of my friends to church. I led friends to Christ. At the same time, I should have been more distinctive as a Christian. But frankly, I didn't want to suffer. Now, the suffering of Christians in this country is nothing compared to the suffering of Christians in countries where there's persecution. In this country, you might lose your job for taking a Christian stand. But in North Korea, say, you might be killed slowly and painfully for being a Christian. Christians in the Muslim world know what suffering is. Is it worth it? Well, look at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It is worth it. Live for Christ now. Let your friends laugh at you now, and you will experience God's glory when Jesus comes again. God's glory means the experience of what he is like. He is invisible. But when Jesus comes again, he will recreate the world free from sin, free from suffering, and what he is like, his holiness, his power, his love, and so on, will be revealed in us. If you put me under enough pressure, what I am like will be revealed. I can be nice and polite in company, but if you irritate me long enough, what I am like will be revealed in me. So back in February, Robbie and I went to watch a rugby match with my father. We had a very nice evening. Then we got back to the car, and the car had been broken into. That was a pressure situation. And what I am like was revealed. I became short-tempered, stressed. I spoke somewhat rudely to my father. I felt shocked. I don't want my sinful nature to be revealed. I want my sinful nature to be killed off. And it will be. And in place of my sinful personality, God's glory will be revealed in me. Now, is that enough for you? Is it worth living for Christ for the sake of a perfect character, a relationship with Jesus, a place in the new creation, the new world that Jesus will create? Are you prepared to suffer as a Christian for this? The point of these verses is that we suffer in the hope of the new creation. Three headings. Creation groans for the new creation. Christians groan for the new creation. The Holy Spirit groans for us. Firstly, creation groans for the new creation. Verses 19 to 22. Now we need to understand something important. When we die, we go to heaven. But at the end of history, this world will be destroyed. And Jesus will recreate a new perfect world. This is called the new creation. So we're not going to spend forever in heaven. We're going to spend forever in the new perfect world. Doing work. Yeah, work. Serving God. But it will be stress-free because there will be no sin. We will have perfect characters and there will be no suffering. This is what creation longs for. Verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. When Jesus comes back, it will be revealed who are the sons of God. And there may be some surprises. Only those who suffer with Christ, who live for Christ now, can expect to be revealed as a son of God when Jesus comes back. Now in verse 20, the creation, that means this world, was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In other words, do things ever go wrong in your life? Yes. Ever feel really unhappy? Ever get sick? Ever fail? This is because God deliberately frustrated the world. We are frustrated people. I would love to be a better preacher. I would love to be a better singer. More importantly, I would love to be a better husband, a better father, and so on. Again and again, we are frustrated. And this is deliberate. God has frustrated creation so that there are earthquakes, famines, diseases. This is deliberate. God did this as a punishment for the sin of humanity. We rebelled against God. Therefore, we are frustrated. However, look at the last word of verse 20. Hope. There is hope. This is not the end of the story. One day, I will no longer be frustrated. Life will no longer be a struggle. This will be when Jesus comes again and recreates all things. Verse 21, creation will be liberated, set free from its bondage to decay. There will be no more death, no more cancer, no more arthritis, no more depression, no more unhappiness. We will be liberated, set free, and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Do you want to be free? We think freedom means drinking as much as I want, sleeping with whoever I want, going wherever I want to go. In short, being my own boss. We think that's freedom. The Bible says that's slavery. Remember the prodigal son? He rebels against his dad, takes his dad's money, lives it up, sleeps around, ends up eating pig's food. That's what happens when we grasp so-called freedom in disobedience to God. Obedience to God is real freedom. This is the freedom to become a successful person. For best results, follow the Maker's instructions. And then you find that when Jesus comes again, you are liberated into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. Freedom to enjoy God for all eternity. Am I persuading you that it's worth living for Christ? Now notice verse 22. The suffering in the world is not pointless suffering. So often it seems that way. But look at the purpose of this groaning. Verse 22, the whole creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth. I've been present at 3 childbirths. The mother always groans. This is not because the mother is just being moany. She's doing a very special job. She's giving birth to a child. And it's very hard work. It can't be done without groaning. Creation is giving birth to the new creation, the new perfect world. So when there is a tsunami, this is evidence that the new creation is coming. Our suffering is not the end of the story. Creation groans for the new creation. Secondly, Christians groan for the new creation. Verses 23 to 25. Something within us says, God, there must be more. Groan. I need a drink after that. Now we groan, even though something wonderful has happened to us. Verse 23. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He is like the first apple of the harvest. You can taste what the whole harvest is going to be from the first fruit. Some years ago, before some of you were born, there used to be an advert on telly for Del Monte fruit juice. And in the advert, the man from Del Monte, who wore a linen suit and a Panama hat, used to visit the orchard and taste the first fruit of the harvest. And if it was good, the man from Del Monte, he'd say yes. The man from Del Monte could taste that these were going to be good apples. So he would say yes. And I can taste that the new creation is going to be good, because I've tasted the Holy Spirit. I know God. I hear his voice in the Bible. I have a relationship with him. And I say yes. I want the new creation. I'm looking forward to it. I'm living for it. This world is not enough for me. I want the new creation. And so, verse 23, we groan for the new creation. Oh! As we wait eagerly. Yes, I am eager for our adoption as sons. I can't wait to meet my Father, to meet God. The redemption of our bodies. I can't wait for a body that will never get tired. I groan for that. Verse 24, this is my hope. In this hope I was saved. I got saved. I became a Christian for this. This is the whole point. I can't see it yet. That's why I'm still hoping. But verse 25, wait patiently. Hope in God. Hope in God in your situation. We groan for the new creation. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit groans for us. The Holy Spirit groans for us. Verses 26 and 27. What is this saying? Verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. If we pray, God helps us. He doesn't take our suffering away very often, but he helps us get through it. He helps us to live as a Christian. We don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays to God the Father. The Holy Spirit prays to God the Father. God prays to God. And when he does, he groans. No words are required. If you get married, and if the marriage goes well, there comes a point when you can read your wife's mind. No words are required. That's how it is with God. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to say anything. He just groans. And the Father understands that prayer. And he answers it. Notice, although God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all equally God, the Father is in charge. And the Bible says it's the same in human families. Fathers are to lead, but men and women are still equal. The Spirit prays to the Father for us. The Spirit is praying for us as we groan our way through life. He groans too. without words. And verse 27, the Father who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. There's no need for words. The Father reads the Spirit's mind. And the Spirit reads the Father's mind. He intercedes, he prays for the saints, for Christians, in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit prays without words for the will of God to be done. And guess what? It will be done. So as we groan and suffer through life, God is working out his plan. Nothing happens by accident. And the Spirit prays for the will of God to be done in our lives. The will of God will be done in your life. God the Father has planned it. God the Holy Spirit has prayed for it. It will be done. God doesn't get frustrated. We get frustrated. God's will is done. Incidentally, this is how to pray. I don't give God advice in prayer. Quite the reverse. God tells me what to pray for in his word. And I pray for those things. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name be honored. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't give God advice. I say to him, God, what is your will? May your will be done. And when we pray in the will of God, prayers are answered with an almighty yes. This is how to pray. If the will of God is not clear, I wouldn't be too hard and fast. Just say to God, I don't know what to pray for here, but your will be done. If the Holy Spirit prays in accordance with the will of God, then so should we. So, creation groans for the new creation. This imperfect, sin-spoiled world is groaning as it gives birth to a new, perfect world, which Jesus will establish when he returns to earth. Christians groan for the new creation. We groan because we know this is not our home. The new creation is our home. We should set our hope not on money or anything in this world, but on the new creation. We should live for that. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit groans for us. The will of God will be done because the Holy Spirit is praying it in. So have confidence. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we've laughed about groaning tonight, but we also know that it is a very painful experience to groan through life. And so, Father, we thank you that although the whole of creation groans, it does so in hope, knowing that one day you will recreate everything, free from sin, free from suffering. And thank you, Father, that as we groan individually, groan corporately as your people, as we groan with the whole of creation, the Holy Spirit groans with us too, praying for us that your will be done. And so, Father, we ask for that. Establish your kingdom. Establish your purpose on the earth as it is in heaven, as more and more people come to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.